page it is, and on the line now we have one of our regulars and one guest I love having on, our leadership expert, Renee Geruso. Good morning and welcome to The Pulse.
Hi, Rob. How are you going?
Good. Good to have you back again. It's been a little while. I wish I had this thing that we're going to talk about when I was a teenager. We're talking about those developing years in a teenager's life and the education path, but how good it would have been when I think back now if I'd have had a no list when I was 14.
Yes, couldn't it have been good for all of us? I think it's, you know, I don't know if you remember, Rob, that Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man?
Yes, I saw bits of it, but I know exactly what you mean, yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, I love saying yes to everything, but I think what I'm seeing a lot, it can be, you know, a detriment to your focus, your energy and your time trying to be everything to everyone in and out of the workplace. And I'm really noticing, you know, just how important, especially with myself and clients, how important it is to learn to say no and be okay with that. And that helps us really formulate our boundaries, you know, what's okay and what's not okay.
So, Renee, let's talk about the preparation of that aforementioned list, because yes, where I would fail, and I suppose it's the failure of many, is the feeling of disappointing someone or letting someone down or being upset with you. That was my personal problem with it. Is that the major one people would have when they're starting to say, no, I just cannot afford to do that anymore?
Yeah, it's guilt. And I think we say no to people, we say no to situations. And I think when we say no to people, you know, and I'll give you just a real life example. You know, you get asked for something on a Friday night, you know you've had a big week at work, but you don't want to let that person down. So a really good way to, and a mindset to have, is you're saying no to the event, not the actual person. So, hey, Rob, I would love to see you Friday night, but I've just had such a big week. I'm not saying no to you. I just can't be there. And it removes, separating those two things removes the guilt. And usually, and I've had this personally, I've had friends say, wow, that is so awesome that you're doing that and taking some time out for you. So I think we amplify the guilt more than it actually exists. So really saying no to the event, not the person. And look, it's not, it sounds easy, it's not, it's something that's a practice. And even the language we use, Rob, around, I'm just making this up, but I don't go out on weeknights. It's just something I don't do anymore. Being really strong with that, and that helps really pave, I guess, a habit around saying no with the right intention, and it helps remove the guilt.
I think that's called getting old.
Yeah, it is a bit. Just on that, Renee, is it worth having that conversation to perhaps explain the circumstances without making it feel like you're going on your own guilt trip and misery trip at the same time? But just if you know the person well enough to just have that conversation, look, I really can't do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Or I really can't be there anymore. Or I'd love to be part of, you know, I'm on a lot of leadership teams and boards, and I've recently had to come off one. I physically couldn't, I don't have the capacity. So, you know me, I want to do a really good job of whatever I do, and I just feel I can't give it my all. And people respect that. And, you know, we've talked, Rob, a few times about the things we think in our mind, we amplify it to be bigger than they usually are. You'd be quite surprised how many people will actually go, that's okay. So I think it's really worth, you know, thinking about who do you need to say no to? Is it that person at work that always comes to you and you always help them out, which is great, but it's at the expense of you doing your job? You know, is it that person out of work that you're just a sounding board all the time and, you know, it's probably not helping that person anyway? So thinking about who in and out of the workplace you need to say no to, and that's a capital N and a capital O. And then also, you know, what situations you need to say no to. And it could be around setting digital boundaries. I talk about this a lot. We all know social media is just, you know, it's for good, but but it's also, you know, can go on the flip side, as we all know.
No, it's evil. Don't mince words, Renee.
I think there's good in it, and I think, but on the flip side, anything that's in overdrive, you know, can have a detrimental effect.
Renee, talk to me about the difference between being selfish, but being kind to yourself. And the circumstance I'm thinking is, if you've got a decision where one of two things has to go, one thing you could do would make you happy, but the other thing makes other people happy, and you know that you're an important part. You're talking about being part of a committee. You know you're a vital part of that committee, but you can't do both. So is it a case of being selfish? How do you deal with that little component in your thinking?
Yeah, I think it's a case of just being true to yourself, true to your intention, and I guess having enough rapport and connection to be honest. You know, in emotional intelligence, which, you know, is so key, it always has been, but even more now, I think this is part of emotional intelligence, which is self-knowing. So actually being aware of your limits, and being able to voice those. And look, it's not always easy. I was with a team last week where we were doing this for external stakeholders, and it's not always easy, but I think just really looking at a question I have, Rob, is what will it cost you not to create boundaries and say no to certain people and situations? What's the long-term cost of that?
Renee, I have a question. Just with regard to for women who are juggling work-life balance, or if they're juggling kids or trying to juggle their careers, is this something that you see a lot of in your line of work, of them trying to sort of get the ratio right?
Definitely. And especially with the pandemic and homeschooling and, you know, being a mum, being a wife, being a friend, being a leader, definitely. I think it's been heightened. But I think it's also given us an opportunity to reflect and stand back, because I think coming out of COVID, I don't know about, you know, who you're, you know, working with, but friends, family, clients were very much, when we go back to whatever this next normal is, I'm going to have work-life balance. And I think everyone's gone harder and faster than they did before. Because we've been able to fit more in, and I think that's something we've got to be really mindful of. You can't generalise it, but I do work with a lot of men and a lot of women and a lot of males that are actually the father figure and have been the main sort of parent. So I do see it on both sides, but I think it's about not so much work-life balance. I'm a big believer in work-life integration. I don't think you can, as soon as you balance something, something gives. I see scales that aren't always evenly weighted. And I think by integrating small things gradually, like I'll give you an example, a client I've just been talking to this morning, they find it really hard to take 4 weeks off every year. So they're taking a week off every quarter and locking that in. So they're integrating this balance to keep them going throughout the year, opposed to just having this big chunk of time off where they get stressed out about getting prepared to leave to do that, and they stress the whole time being away for 4 weeks. So I think it's sometimes bringing in the little incremental changes that can make the bigger difference.
Mike, you touched on, jokingly, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, about getting old, but you and I are of the stage where you can't do what we used to be able to do. You've got to make those decisions.
You mean we're old.
Yeah, we are old, but you've got to make those decisions, and which is the right one? What do I have to stop doing but still live a full life? It's a balance.
I think that point we were making before about how a lot of people made changes during the pandemic, and hopefully we never, when we do go back to a new normal, as Renee was just saying, hopefully people remember that, and those changes become permanent changes and not just temporary. We don't just go back to the way things were before, because things weren't necessarily great before anyway, and
no.
I think it's easy to forget that.
Yeah.
That's so true. And I think, look, trying to be everything to everyone, it's not sustainable long term. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people, and me included, I'm not the best at it, you know, trying to fit everything in. You know, now there's people thinking there could be a potential, you know, like potential restrictions coming back in. So trying to fit a lot in. But I think we've got to build a cadence sort of self-accountability and create habits around, you know, being conscious. Because we don't get out of bed and go, who and what am I saying no to today? But I'm at that point now where I actually question clients around that. You know, what's on your no list for the next 90 days? So if you're saying no to a particular person or situation, then that creates a boundary. And to me, boundaries are like speed humps on the road. If we don't have them, we just go out of control. So we need those checkpoints to be able to live the best version of ourselves with the energy and headspace, you know, to make things work for us and those around us.
Actually, we were talking about education before, Renee, and I've often heard it said that with our school system, we actually have students in year 11 and 12 who are, you know, 18, going on 18 years of age, who still have to put their hand up and ask for permission to go to the bathroom, and yet at the same time may be able to own houses, have children, drive cars, drink alcohol, etc., etc. I often wonder how well is their education system actually preparing them to make decisions later in life.
Yeah, I agree. It's the life skills, isn't it, that I think are the most important skills to be learning. And, you know, I think of when I'm about, just to Rob's point, about getting more mature, Rob, not older. I'm turning 50 in August, and I always think back, you know, to the biggest things I've learnt growing up, and most of them haven't been at school, you know, and I think
definitely
say about that. Yeah.
Definitely. Renee, the thing that I was going to ask you about, that decision-making process that changed during COVID, and what we're noticing in communities, a lot of people who formerly volunteered and got great joy out of it, and the habit to volunteer was broken because the organisation went into recess, and Mike touched on before, the change of habit. A good thing to do is to get back to community volunteering, but people have got out of the system. Do you regard that highly as an important part of life fulfillment, or is it really up to each individual to make that choice to see if sharing themselves around in a community is good for them?
Yeah, I think it's an amazing thing. I think I'm very into what I call the gift of contribution, so contributing to yourself, your work team, your home team and the community. And I think getting involved in the community gets you out of your own head. It helps you be in gratitude for what you do have and else. But I think there needs to be a balance. What I'm seeing a lot at the moment is a lot of people doing the volunteer thing, giving everything at home, back to the question a bit earlier about juggling everything, giving everything at work but not giving things back to yourself. So whatever that is for you, if it's, you know, I don't want to go into mindfulness, but it could be just to self-care. For me, my self-care is cooking. That's the time I zone out. I don't follow recipes. That's at night I cook. That's always been my meditation. And when I don't do that, I do feel my energy become depleted, and I'm the high energy person. So I think it's knowing what it is for you, but finding a cause that matches your values, you know. So you think back years ago, there was World Vision. That was sort of it. Now there's a charity, you know, every 100 metres.
Mm-hmm.
So choosing a cause you believe in is key. That's the first thing, and then going, how can I contribute to that, not sort of the other way around.
First rule of first aid is look after yourself, and this
this
time's the important one, and I suppose that's the biggest decision to make when you feel that, or you give of yourself so much that you feel, going back to the original question about, you're going to be disappointed, someone's going to be let down, I'm going to lose friends because of this. But the reality is, you have to make that self first decision before you can then give it to others anyway.
Spot on. And like I said, it sounds like a lot of things, you know, it sounds easy, but it's you know, not, it's unfamiliar, I think, to some people. So I get a lot of people that go, oh, Renee, it's just so hard to say no to Mary. And it's like, it's not really hard. Have you ever said no to Mary? No. It's unfamiliar. So it's even reframing it. And like I said, things in our head become, it's not a real word, but awfulizing. You know, when we think of something enough, we can actually start to believe that it's worse than it is.
Yep. Guilty as charged, Your Honour. My number one personal fault. So, Renee, on the way out, final tips. How do you create a no list?
Yeah. I sort of say, you know, and you can do this however you do this. I always say to journal monthly what or who are three things I'm going to say no to for the next 4 weeks. And not just I'm going to say no to Rob, but get a bit more specific on it. Don't overthink it and just make a start on saying no to a few things. The more we hold back, it's a bit like perfectionism, that the more we think things are harder than they are. So just making a start. Think about at the moment, you know, anyone that's listening, you know, who or what is draining your energy a bit. It could be that person that you absolutely love, but you feel drained around them. You know, do you need to minimise your exposure to that person at the moment so you can replenish your energy? Those sorts of things. Is there someone a bit more optimistic that can really bring you up at the moment that you should be spending time with? And just question, you know, who and what you're doing, because I always say, Rob, we've become human doings, not human beings, and we need to be before we can do, to be happy, fulfilled, you know, in this is in and out of work, so we can bring our whole selves to life.
Do you have to have a corresponding yes list as you create a no list, in that I'm not going to do this for John next door, I'm going to go for a walk instead?
Yeah, you can do that. So that's, yeah, so on our journal we have the no list, the boundaries around that, and then what we are going to say yes to, which become your goals, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good. Good advice as per usual, Renee. I'm going to go home tonight and do a no list.
No, I'm not making dinner, no.
Actually, I quite enjoy cooking too. It's funny you say that, because a lot of, well, the perception, women in the household, they cook and it becomes a chore. But for someone at your age still saying it's my happy place, that's fantastic that you can do that. And I love the fact you do it without a recipe, because that's the best way to do it, on the fly. Yeah. Open the fridge door, what do we got?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's different. If you're highly procedural, you know, and you love a lot of structure, you'll love recipes. It sort of plays out in cooking as to how you're motivated. I'm quite a creative and an ideas person, and I think I followed one recipe and I tried to change everything in it anyway.
Sounds like you.
I love about it.
Renee, thank you so much for your time. Always a joy to chat. We'll catch up with you in a month of the show. So keep happy. And if we don't get to you before you have that big happy birthday party in August, happy birthday. It is a, it's not a scary one. No. Just a number.
Say yes to that one.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
All the very best. Talk soon. Renee Giroux, she's a ripper. We like her a lot.